Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Alice at 97.3's Sarah and Vinny.
Alice at 97.3, Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show. It's Thursday.
Thursday's good.
Yeah.
I like
pretty
it.
Pretty good. Mm-hmm. I don't suppose you have It's Thursday ready to go. You're the best. I've just been waiting for that all day. Thank you.
It's podcast day, everyone.
It is podcast day. In fact, our friend Rudy has entered the building, and he's going to do a movie review here in a minute, and then he's going to be talking about whatever the hell happened in Houston.
Uh-oh.
Big stories.
Is that right?
Rudy, big stories?
Huge stories.
Sweet.
Yeah, I was going to say everything's bigger in Texas.
He is living his best life. Doesn't Oprah say that?
She does.
Yeah.
That's the goal.
Live your best life. And informative. She did research. No names were given. This is the woman who did the testing and found out her dad wasn't her dad.
Oh.
So she actually researched it once she was tipped off.
Oh.
That makes more sense.
Yes, it does.
And that wasn't in the original story that I had in front of me.
Holy cow. That's pretty damning.
415 says, sorry, human, but Hamilton is not even in the top 10 of great musicals.
Yes, it
seriously.
Is.
Book of Mormon is way above it. Avenue Q, JCSS, Godspell, Little Shop of Horrors,
oh, that's
Damn Yankees, Sound of Music, and on and on.
And you didn't mention West Side Story. Your list is incomplete as well.
I just watched West Side Story again a couple weeks ago.
Uh-oh.
And while I do love a lot of the songs that are in there, it's, I don't know, that one's not holding up the way some of them do.
Oh, I love West Side
I agree.
Songs. I want to live in America.
Everything free in America. Okay, by me.
When you're
America.
An immigrant, that song speaks to you.
Yeah, it's great. There's a lot of great songs in it, but it was just funny to watch it again, and it was just like, ow. This isn't nearly as cool as I remember it being.
I love Singing in the Rain, by the way.
Oh, sing it.
Oh, I'm counting. I'm sorry.
All right. Count to 97, human.
Sarah, did you notice that some of the lyrics were changed in some of the Jesus Christ Superstar songs?
I did. They
for the
took
TV
out,
version?
I can't remember what they replaced it with, but it was like, Jesus is cool. And they changed that to something else. I did notice a little bit. But honestly, I didn't watch it. I was like, ugh. I wasn't. Although our resident Broadway expert, Michelle Bergman, who's in our promotions department, she worked on Broadway for years, and she liked it.
Oh.
She said it took a bit of adjustment, that it was being sung kind of differently, but she appreciated the production of it, and she gave it a 3.5 to my 0. And she would know, so...
My friend is a professional drummer for both rock bands and on Broadway. Her had the same opinion as Sarah. The rock element is what makes JCS, so get rid of that, and it removes a big part of the magic of the show.
Yeah, it's supposed to be like a total rock and roll version of the Jesus Christ story.
Anyway.
Yeah, you'd probably like it.
You think I would?
I do. There's some great
songs. I can tell you upon... And I know it's the money thing that did
really
it to me.
Really get you.
But I don't like Hamilton. Like, I'm bummed about it. That was built up to be way bigger than it ultimately was upon
seeing
it. Like, I just, in review, and like now that I'm a year away from it or whatever it is, it didn't do anything. Like, that $1,700, man, I could have gone to Hawaii.
Yeah.
I could have done a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
And to sit there for 2 hours and barely be able to even see the actors.
It's a bummer that you had such a crap experience with it. And I think it does starts with the money, ends with the view that you had of the thing. I loved it. I was really familiar with the soundtrack. I got to say, though, that one isn't standing the test of time with me the way that some that I love do. Like, I'm sick of those songs. There's a few that I like, but there's a few songs on that soundtrack. I'm like, skip, skip, skip.
Like, you like that one?
That's a good one.
408 says, crazy in the head, crazy in bed.
Oh, there it is. Crazy in
bed. That's the
crazy
saying,
in the
everyone.
Head, crazy in bed.
Apparently, we're all supposed to have You don't know that? The internet is the ruin of society. If God had meant for all of us to share our uncensored thoughts, he'd have made us telepathic.
Imagine that. That would suck.
If someone said something like, that's so gay, people would take offense. It's the same with the R word. Absolutely, I agree. Mm-hmm. Both of those words were part of our vocabulary.
Right.
And they have changed as we've become
more sensitive to the people, you know,
more aware.
I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings.
Dudes, people are too damn sensitive. Tell those people your opinion about my words is none of my business.
Well, the thing is, I would like people to feel that they can come to this show in particular and not be offended. I want that. I'm a nice person and I want nice people to be able to listen. And I don't want to bum anybody out. That's not my goal.
What?
And I actually feel uneasy. Like when someone writes a text saying, what you said hurt me and, you know, blah, blah, blah. I feel bad about that. I take that with me into my day and I don't like it. So I just go, you know what? I'll just not say the things that offend people. I can be plenty, you know, interesting to listen to without having to be a hot button. I don't need to be a hot button.
408 says, watch Comedians in Cars with Steve Harvey. I think he and Seinfeld talk about when comedians should apologize. Here's the thing the point I was trying to make about Steve Harvey is he's not doing stand-up. Like, he's a TV host on 7 different shows.
Does he do stand-up? Do you know?
I think he does, and he's good at it. Mm-hmm. He's known comedian, but he's a TV host.
Right.
Isn't he part of that Kings of Comedy? Rudy, you would know more.
No, yeah, he was definitely. I mean, he was one of the face of it.
Stand up guy.
No, that's how he got his break into show business is stand up. Mm. So he's totally made the 180. You're right, Vinny. He's a show host now,
and that's something you have different responsibilities. I actually agree. Comedians are supposed to poke at everything and not apologize and walk off stage and say, think about all that.
And he goes out of his way. He goes out of his way to make sure that he doesn't say anything that comics would normally touch on now. And it's kind of cringeworthy as a comic to see him do that, but that's his gig now.
That's funny. Remember Aisha Tyler used to come through here all the time, and before she got her gig on TV, she would say anything, and she didn't care, and she was badass. And as soon as she got on that, is she on the talk? So she came in here and was like a little bit defensive and just not the free and easy Aisha that we had known before.
She's got to make sure she takes care of that money that she's making.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Got something to look after now. Anyway, it's time for the movies reviews, everyone.
All right. Homan.
All right, everyone. Welcome to the movie review segment. Real quickly, it's Throwback Thursday. I posted an old picture of me and my mom.
We're celebrating her birthday.
Dude, you look awesome.
Thanks,
you look great.
My eyebrows were really
thick. Oh, happy birthday to
Sarah. Yeah, you had the aggressive eyebrows. They were so aggressive.
Before trimming started. Anyway, it's on Human TV. But follow all of us. Clarky Clark, Vin Hassan, Uzette. What's yours, Rudy?
I'm at 9, Rudy Ortiz.
And Brinny Boy. And Vaughn DeWizard. Also, the San Francisco Film Festival is happening. I posted a link on the Sarah and Vinny page of all the spotlight, all the really cool stuff that's happening. So check that out. And lastly, there's a war movie that came out that I saw called Journey's End. And if you like war films, and if you want to see the hopelessness of war, and you want to be depressed AF, then check out Journey's End.
Give me some of that.
It has 93% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Doesn't sound like my kind of movie.
I know.
It's not?
You want to be depressed? No, I don't.
And then he put the AF on the backside of it. That's so you know it's real.
All right, beautiful people. Here is your review of Blockers starring... here's your review of Blockers.
Right. In case you didn't know what the logo stood for.
Yeah, right?
I was like, what's a rooster blocker? What is that? I had no idea what that was.
Well, now you know.
Yeah, now I do.
This film stars Leslie Mann, John Cena, Gina Gershon. Boy, her star has fallen. And Catherine Newton. Does anyone know who this is? Catherine Newton.
No.
She's the girl who's in Three Billboards. And when Frances McDormand walks into the bedroom and relives that moment with her daughter, that's Catherine Newton. Anyway, she's one of the three stars of Blockers.
McDormand.
So in this film, three parents try to stop their three daughters from having sex on prom night. Three separate, different sets of parents.
Right.
Rudy, is this film, Blockers, the female answer to Superbad?
You know,
or American Pie?
I didn't even think about it like that, but now that you mention it, it pretty much is. You know, it's kind of giving you the, it's giving you that experience of going to prom and what the anticipation of maybe hooking up for the first time, but which is exactly what Superbad does. But it's also, though, the female story of it all, because so often we only hear the guy side of this experience. But yeah, this was basically the girl saying, hey, look, we're going to come together. We're going to make this arrangement to everybody lose their V card tonight. And they went for it. And they totally had a female spin on it. And it was hilarious. And it brought up a lot of questions that I hadn't even thought about before in the past as a dude.
When you hear young boys being super crude, it's funny. But right. When you hear young girls being super crude, is it realistic?
Like, well, see,
could you buy into that?
Here's the thing. I mean, I think we only think it's funny when guys are being super crude because we're kind of like conditioned to believe that only we can, you know, get away with saying stuff like that. But I'm sure that girls go around saying foul things all the time, like when they're 18, 19 years old, just like we did when
listen
we were
listen to
youngsters.
The Secret Show.
Exactly. Exactly. I got to do is listen to Sarah on The Secret Show. You already know what's up. So I do think it's realistic. I just think that most of us aren't exposed. Yeah, filthy. You can get straight up filthy. But I do think it's realistic, Hooman. I just think that we're not exposed to it enough to really buy it as being realistic. But I bought it, though.
You did?
Because my sister can get foul-mouthed sometimes.
When
so
you were
I can
young,
imagine.
When you guys were younger together, was she foul-mouthed?
My sister would cuss me out, like, with the best of them. Like, she never got into anything, like, too graphic, like, sexually or anything like that. But if she can call me the things that she called me, you know, in the middle of Kmart, I'm pretty sure that she can get pretty filthy with her friends when they're by themselves.
Yeah. No, girls, I mean, you're right. Like, boys have a reputation for it, and girls, like, sort of keep it on the DL.
Right, and it's more acceptable. Like, we've been conditioned to believe that it's more acceptable and therefore funny when a guy does it. But when a girl does it, it's like, oh, tisk, tisk.
Oh, you should be more of a lady.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's talk about the thing that seemed to bother you the most about this film before we saw it.
Right.
John Cena. What is your problem with John?
Oh, you have a problem with him?
I always felt that he was corny, even in the WWE when he was doing his wrestling thing. First of all, he came off as like this hip hop guy, and when he was a wrestler. So from the very beginning, I already didn't like his whole spiel. And then I started, you know, I saw some of his movies and I was like, oh, you know, this guy's corny. He's just some big buff guy that fits the role, but he's not really a good actor. He doesn't have any comedic timing. Hey, look, John Cena in Blockers. Surprised me.
Oh,
No, he did, and he changed my mind. I don't know if it was because he was working with the other two, with Leslie Mann and Ike Barinholtz, who were extremely funny, but the three of them had real comedic chemistry, and they all had a very unique role, and John Cena knocked his role out of the ballpark. He was the big, buff, sports-loving dad that was overprotective of his daughter. He did a great job.
Did we see more of John Cena's face in this film or more of his ass?
Dude, John Cena's ass was all over this movie.
Naked?
Yeah.
Naked.
I mean,
why?
I don't know. I guess they're trying
to... Is he the one losing his virginity?
Well, he kind of did.
His ass is like the fourth star of this film.
Yeah. No. He kind of did. His ass got a lot of screen time.
A lot of play.
He's like the new Jean-Claude Van Damme of movies, I guess. Like, his ass is in almost every other shot of this movie. So, and I know that some ladies in the theater, I know that they really appreciated it because I heard a lot of woo, I heard a lot of ew, a lot of that, right?
And the gay dudes. Remember the guy at the end of the film?
They were loving
like,
it.
Oh, man, I wish we got more of that ass. I'm like, really? Right. I felt like we got a lot of it. Before we get into the sex aspect of the film, let's talk about the crazy, over-the-top drug usage throughout the film. Did that send a bad message? Was it too much?
No, you know what? I don't know if it was a bad message. Like, we got to remember, this is a comedy, okay? And it's a movie. It's fiction. I always defer to the fact that, like, when people start getting riled up about, you know, what's going on in the movies and the messages that it's sending, it's like, dude, this is a fictional story. It's supposed to make you laugh.
Yes,
and, yeah,
Sarah.
they did go a little
Sarah
over the top with the drugs.
He's not finished with his thought.
Oh, God.
What's it rated?
R. Hard R. Yeah. There's... There's
so this isn't even for kids. It's about kids, but it's not for kids.
There's a lot of male genitalia throughout this.
All right.
And no female genitalia.
None.
None.
None whatsoever.
Wow. It's like
none.
A total role reversal of
yeah, and now, yeah. Now, I'm, not, now I'm fighting for equality. I'm like, can we get some female genitals in here or something?
No, we can't.
So, yeah, but...
Drug usage didn't bother you.
Drug usage didn't bother me because...
What kind of drugs?
There were...
Oh, my God. Well, the
here's
worst.
A, here's the thing. They didn't do all of them, though, Hooman. Let's be honest.
Like
they
what?
Didn't do all of them, but they referred to most of
them. They referred to doing all of them, though.
Right.
Yeah, they didn't do all of them. But look, at one point, like
what?
The... Oh, my God.
It was alcohol. It was weed.
Acid.
DMT.
PCP.
No, PCP. No, this isn't Boys in the Hood. There was no PCP in this.
Was anyone shooting anything?
No. No, there was none of that. But they did refer to DMT. They referred to
What's
cocaine.
DMT?
DMT is like this psychedelic drug that's supposed to help you tap into your third eye. And
oh.
You ever seen
to, like,
Breaking
see
Bad?
Music.
Like acid.
All right.
Yeah.
It's at that
okay.
level. It's at the level of Breaking Bad.
But a lot of drug references, but they didn't actually show them using all these drugs.
All right, let's keep going. We disagree on this. The drug usage is too much, everyone. Kids, watch out. So it seems to me like, as a total outsider, the message of this film is get rid of your virginity before college. Is that the right message to be sending out? Was that the message of the film?
Here's the thing. I don't know if that was the intentional message, if they were saying you must do it. But
yeah.
I think that they were referring to something that's very common. I think a lot of people, you know, they kind of look at, a lot of young people look at prom as maybe the night when, you know, the magic is finally going to happen. I know I looked at it that way.
Did
in
it
high
happen
school.
For you?
No. I had to go through 3 years of community college first before I could actually. Dude, I lost my virginity late in life.
What year? How old?
I was 19
you
when I lost my virginity.
You were in college?
I mean, I guess if that's what you want to call smoking weed in the parking lot. But yeah, I mean, I had to wait a while because I just, my game was whack at a young age.
So sorry.
But,
are you making up for it now?
I'm making up for it now, yeah. So I do think that. You know, a lot of young people do look at it like that's this magical time. It's a special time. So I don't know if that was the message that they were trying to push onto people, but I think they were trying to touch on the reality of the situation, which is that's when people do it.
Every 5 minutes you hear, I got to lose my virginity at prom. We got to do this. Let's make the sex pact. I'm like, well, that's clearly the message.
But that's what the movie was about, though. I mean, it was about, they got to refer to what the movie was about.
Listen, even though it's fiction, films send messages.
Right.
And if, you know, a bunch of young kids go and see this film, they're going to get the message of do a tremendous amount of drugs.
But it's rated R.
And have sex, you know, before you get to college, even if you're not.
Or maybe it'll scare them
ready.
Off the whole thing. They'll be like, oh, Hollywood's
so.
Trying to tell us we got to lose our virginity at prom. Let's make a pact against it.
And again, it was rated R, the Hooman, right? You got to give them that. The fact that you're talking about if young kids go see it, they're not supposed to. It's rated R.
Why is it okay that Superbad could, you know, that's the message there and nobody railed against that? Why?
I don't remember the drug usage in Superbad.
Yeah, but
you?
They were drinking, though. They were drinking like crazy.
Yeah,
they
but
were,
nothing.
But they're underage and it's illegal.
There's one kid in this film who's dedicated to, like, basically being the apprentice for Breaking Bad. He's called the chemist in the film.
No, he's called the chef.
The chef. Okay,
the chef,
sorry.
Yeah.
The chef. And he's the chef not because, you know, he makes a mean prime rib. It's because he's able to, like, concoct these incredible drugs with, like, the most potency. And the worst side effects.
I will agree with you on that because they did let his character, like, he was, it was very casual. The fact that he was this kid that was hanging out and providing all the drugs. I mean, that was a little casual. It was a little weird. But again, they didn't
but
show
hey,
them actually.
It's just fiction. Sum it all up.
They
let
didn't
me
actually
just,
show him doing
he's
the
so
drugs.
Upset about it.
I gotta say,
got
I hated
crime
the
dog
message.
McGruff.
I hated the message of the film. Sex and drugs. At times I did laugh, but I felt uncomfortable. And the other reason is. So you got all these young girls running around doing drugs, wanting to have sex. I'm like, too much, too much. Even the parents were like, oh, man, this is so weird. I don't know. I'm going to give it. I laughed, but I'm going to give it 2.25 Persians.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, I'm going to tell you right now, this movie did a pretty honest and a pretty admirable job of trying to show modern day parenting, trying to show what teenagers actually are like. And I think they actually did a pretty good job of just kind of depicting what it is to raise kids in 2018. So I give them a lot of credit for that. And on top of all of that, let's not forget this is a comedy. I laughed really hard throughout this movie. It was well written. Again, a lot of chemistry on the screen with all three of the main characters. So I'm going to give this movie four pinatas.
Oh,
four pinatas.
Filled with?
It was funny.
That.
It was funny.
Don't support that.
You're gonna, I'm telling you, if you get, look, and this guy right here was laughing. He was jabbing me with his elbow. He was laughing out. He was LOLing all night. So I don't know where the
conscience got the better of him.
Right.
What's in the pinatas? I gotta know.
It's gonna be probably all these drugs. All these drugs.
All the drugs and condoms.
All these drugs that they didn't do in the movie. They were in the pinata, so you're gonna be sprinkled with cocaine as soon as you break this pinata.
Okay.
The next time Rudy comes back, hopefully he's in town. I forgot to ask you, but it's hopefully gonna be for the new Avengers movie.
Oh, dude, my nerd friends are gonna be so jealous of me right now.
Yeah, you'll probably be in some hick town somewhere.
Probably going to Huntsville.
All right, so thanks, guys. Great job.
Thank you.
I have to admit, I am intrigued. If Hooman doesn't like it, I'm sure to love it. you are going to stick around for The Secret Show.
Most definitely.
We're going to hear the stories from Houston.
Yes, indeed.
Which is your most recent comedy stop.
Uh-huh.
All right, great. We'll be back in a minute.
Sarah and Vinny. Sarah and Vinny. On Alice at 97.3.
Alice at 97.3. Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show. Big thanks to Rudy for coming by today for Blockers. Sounds like a great movie. Mm-hmm. That Hooman feels bad for liking.
Yeah, it sounds like he liked it, and then just doesn't want to say
laughing and elbowing
in front of anyone from church that he enjoyed it.
There's so many texts right now calling him prude and other names.
Well, it is kind of funny how he did seem really upset by it.
Yet he was cracking up throughout the whole movie, I hear.
Right.
Well,
whatever.
And it also sounds like the movie's actually more about these parents that are, well, whatever. I mean, go see it if you want to and don't if you don't. Rudy's going to join us for our secret show, which is a podcast we do in addition to this show.
It doesn't sound like the usual teenage movies we used to get when we were kids, like Porky's. Or
I was just thinking of Porky's.
That's
so
funny.
There was a whole bunch of them, though. They don't stand the test of time. They were just an opportunity for young people to see boobs.
Right.
Right. You know.
But in this one, you don't get to see any boobs.
Right. It's what's his name's butt
John
cheeks.
Cena.
Yeah, John Cena's
I love
butt.
Him.
Yeah, I actually think he's pretty funny. Wasn't he Amy Schumer's boyfriend in Trainwreck?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
He was pretty funny in that role. Like that
he's
was...
worked really hard to get this far, and he's actually a very intelligent man. And speaks a couple different languages.
I had no idea that you had all these feelings.
Yeah. Look at you.
John Cena.
Yeah, I like him.
Interesting.
Well,
big fan, huh?
He's engaged to one of the Bella twins who are in
the
Women
twins?
Of Wrestling. Well, although I think both of them retired for one reason or the other. But
the Bella twins.
Bad news.
I don't
wrestling
know them.
Wrestling people will know.
Well, it sounds
total
like you're...
Total Divas. Total Divas.
Are you a wrestling people?
No, not at all. But I watched this show called Total Divas.
Okay. Oh, it's them. You watch the reality show based on these wrestler ladies. Oh, I see.
All right.
And he's actually a very serious man. He's very uptight in real life. John Cena.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like uptight people.
No, but I think he's working on it.
Oh. That's good. We all need to be working on ourselves.
That
the whole
is
time.
True.
All right. So we're going to go do a secret show. Find that, what do you think, around 11 or so? Get it up there.
Sure.
And then we'll see you tomorrow. And it's going to be
Friday.
Big storm, everyone.
Oh, yeah. Batten down the hatches, people. It's a big one. Be scared.
It's Sarah and Vinny.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.